Blessed and revived by the KAYT Gospel Hour as we venture back in the past for a time of revival with oldies and goodies in sermon and song.
Lead me on.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 NW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
That Pleasant Hill Baptist Church choir director's a bad mama jamma. That was awesome. Amen. God is good. Amen. God bless you. So happy to see Brother DeGray here. I can't ever remember if it's Ronnie or Reggie, but it's Reggie. All right. God bless you. Are your daughters the one that played for? Okay. All right. Amen. Happy to see you here today and all the people of God who share with us in the house of God. For truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I believe it, I see it, that you have come to rejoice and be glad in it. As we stand all over this place, if you will turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel. We're going to read the whole chapter, so if you can't stand long, and if you sit down, I will understand. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 13, and we do solicit your prayers, even as I stand, not feeling at my best, but God is good. 2 Samuel chapter 9, starting at verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said unto Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. Amen. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Amen. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Just a moment this morning, as you take your seats, I want you to think with me in terms of a subject, amazing grace. Amazing grace. Every believer, thank you, ushers, ought to know what grace is about. Every believer ought to have a good understanding of what the grace of God affords you. There's a story of a lady riding on a bus, and she was reading a book, and there was a gentleman seated next to her, and he asked her what she was reading. And she told him the name of the book. He went on to say, well, what is the book about? And she thought that it would be easier, since she hadn't completed the book, she had just started reading the book. She said, I'll just read to you the titles of each chapter from the table of contents so that you might get some understanding of what the book is about. And it just so happened that one of the titles of one of the chapters was grace. And the man interrupted the woman and said, what is that grace all about? And the woman said, I'm sorry, I haven't gotten that far yet. And the sad reality is that for many of us in the church, been in the church a long time, been walking with God a long time, but if someone were to ask you, what is the meaning of grace? The sad reality is that many of us would not be able to tell them what grace is all about. Y'all, I'm just convinced that when you really know what grace is, your walk with God takes on new meaning. When you really know what grace is, your praise takes on a whole new dimension. When you really know what grace is, I'm just convinced that you'll treat people differently. And so we find here in our text David, whom God said was a man after his own heart. We find David extending to one of his enemy's descendants grace. You need to understand that King Saul was an enemy of David. As a matter of fact, King Saul on various occasions tried to take David's life because he was jealous of David, because the anointing had been lost in King Saul's life, and God had made up his mind that he would raise up a new king by the name of David. And we know, you Bible readers know what happened, that David is victorious and David becomes the king of Israel. And yet, because of his relationship with Saul's son, Jonathan,
David raises the question. Now, you need to see that Mephibosheth is not thinking about David. He's not thinking about, amen, anything in Israel. As a matter of fact, he's in a place called Lodabar. And you Bible readers know that Lodabar is often described as somewhat of a barren place. Not a lot of good things going on in Lodabar. And I want to pause parenthetically and just suggest to somebody who may think that just because of where you're from, you don't have a chance, or just because of your family background, you may think, amen, that you don't have opportunity. But is there anybody here today who knows that God in his sovereign power is to take anybody? He can take anybody and anything and make something out of it. And so we see here in David, this man after God's own heart, we see him extending grace to Mephibosheth. There are two seasons of life, my brothers and sisters, that really test and reveal the real nature of someone's character. There are two seasons of life. If you want to know what somebody's made out of, you need to catch them in one of these two seasons. Catch them either in the season of adversity or in the season of prosperity. And you can really find out what they're made out of. Do I have a witness here today? Amen. Because see, I don't know about you, but I've come to find that some folk, amen, who were buddy-buddy when everything was going well in my life, when lack came or when trouble came, those same people, amen, didn't want to have anything to do with me. And so you have to look at folk in your seasons of adversity, because, amen, not everybody smiling in your face is smiling because they really love you. Oh, I know I got some witnesses here who found yourself in a season of adversity and you really found out who your real friends are. You know those folk who said, I got your back. They had your back as long as you had a car and you could give them a ride. They had your back as long as you had money and you could loan them some money. But when the trouble came, you couldn't find them. And so here in this text, we find out a few things about the grace of God as revealed through the life of David. The first thing we find about the grace of God is that the grace of God reaches out to the lost. I told you that Mephibosheth was not thinking about David. He was minding his own business, but David, it came upon David's heart to find somebody from the house of Saul that he could bless. I tell y'all all the time, don't worry about your neighbors being blessed. You know, why you hating on your neighbor getting a blessing? If you just hang on in there, your blessing is on the way. And so Mephibosheth was off minding his own business, but it came on David's heart because he had God in his heart that I want to bless somebody from my enemy's household. And that ought to tell us, because you know we sing songs, say I'm looking for my Jesus way out on a hill. We sing songs like I'm searching, seeking for the Lord. But if the truth would be told, none of us really were looking for God. Do I have a witness today? But if you're sitting in this house this morning, you have a reason to give God praise, because even though you weren't looking for him, the good news is that he was looking for you. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm so glad that the Lord found me. Amen. I can't help but get excited every time I hear Brother Taylor. He sings a song. He says, I'm so glad I found the Lord Jesus in time. I like the song, but amen. The real reality is I'm so glad the Lord found me in time. Is there anybody here who realizes that, amen, you were too mean to live and you weren't fit to die? As a matter of fact, you were on your way to a devil's hell, but the Lord thought enough of you to find you in your mess, in your trouble. Because look at this brother. Look at him. He's described as being crippled in his feet. And yet David said, I want to bless him. Come on. How many of us, if the truth will be told, you look real good on Sunday morning. Yeah, you got it all matching. It's all looking right. You look real holy and real spiritual. But if we could take a real spiritual x-ray of you, amen, you would have to admit I got some disease and I got some sickness in my spirit. But thanks be to God that he's looking for sick folk. Thanks be to God that he's looking to bless crippled people, people who don't have it all together, people who are willing to admit that they haven't dotted every I and crossed every T. But I'm so glad that the grace of God reaches out to the lost. I know I'm in Bible country because Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 says, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. Y'all, as a matter of fact, unrighteous people don't seek for God. Every sinner does what the first sinners did. Y'all remember what the first sinners did, don't you? Adam and Eve, you remember what they did? They tried to hide from God. And every unconverted sinner is a convicted fugitive on the run from divine justice who is only saved because of the personal missionary work of Almighty God. I'm so glad that the grace of God reaches out. There's a story about this man. He had carjacked somebody. He stole their car and he was on the run. The police were after him. They had Amber Alerts out with the license plate on it and all of this. They were trying to find this man and they wanted to lock him up, but there was another reason they were really searching for him is because the owner of the car told the police that I left a bag of crackers on the front seat, passenger seat, and I had dipped them in rat poison because I was going to feed them to some rats that have invaded my house when I got home. And we need to find brother man because he might get a little hungry, y'all know, amen, on the way. And so not only were they looking for him because he was a convicted thief, amen, they were looking for him to save his life. Is there anybody up in here who can thank God that, yes, I was a sinner, I was a wretch undone, my life was messed up, but I'm so happy that the Lord was looking for me, not to convict me, but he was looking for me so that he might save my life. Where are the saved people in the house today who can thank God for looking beyond your faults, seeing your needs? So God reaches out to the lost. You need to know that he reaches out for one of three reasons. He reaches out because of who he is. He's our creator. Amen. You remember in the Gospels when there was the lost coin and there was the lost sheep and there was the lost son and the owner said, I'll leave the rest to find the one. Are you the one? Are you the one? How many folk, amen, did the Lord bypass to get to you? How many folk are still in the muck and mire and you're sitting up in church? Come on, some of your running buddies back in the day. You know, folk you used to drink with, folk you used to smoke with, folk you used to do all kind of dirt with. They're still in the dirt, but you're sitting up in church on Sunday. And I need to burst your bubble and tell you, it ain't because you were so smart. It's not because you were so intelligent. It's not because you were so good. He looked beyond your faults and he saw your needs. And so when you realize that the grace of God reaches out to the lost and you were lost and he found you, that's a good reason to come in here and give him some praise. Because some of you would have to testify, God had to go way out the way to get to you. As a matter of fact, you come on, if the truth will be told, you really should be dead and gone. If the truth would be told, you would be sitting in a jail cell somewhere. But I'm so happy that grace reaches out to the lost. Y'all, that's why I can't sit down on God. That's why no matter how I feel, you know, amen, I may not feel so good, but when I think about the goodness of Jesus. Come on, choir, I know y'all feel me. Sometimes you don't feel like singing. You've been to rehearsal, you know your part and all of that, but in your spirit, you just don't feel like singing. But you get up here and you look out there and realize that your message might save somebody, your message might turn somebody's life around, and the Holy Ghost will kick in. Thank God for grace that reaches out to the lost because of who he is, but also God reaches out to us because of another. Amen. This that David was doing for this crippled boy was really because he was such good friends with Saul's son, Jonathan. I mean, they were really good friends. And you Bible readers know that, amen, Jonathan was next in line to the kingdom, and yet he helped David to hide out from his father. He was more loyal to David than he was to his own daddy. Ooh, thank God for a friend. But you know what the Bible says? There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Come on. Oh, my. What kind of friend do we have in Jesus? Thank God on today. But then the second thing I want to share with you about grace, not only does grace reach out to the lost, but the grace of God also welcomes in the enemy. Because in a real sense, Mephibosheth was an enemy of David, because he was from Saul's household. Now, normally the way it happened in biblical antiquity is that when a king defeated another king, they would destroy everybody associated with that king. But so when David sends Ziba to get Mephibosheth, many theologians suggest that when he got called to David's house that he was nervous. See, he didn't know what was about to happen. He was afraid that he was about to lose his life, but he discovered, amen, that David had a blessing for him. He discovered that David was going to be kind to him, and instead of getting the sword, he got an embrace from King David. Y'all, that tells me that even though the Bible says we were enemies of God, but even though we were enemies of God because of the precious blood of Jesus, because of our faith in Christ, y'all, we don't have to walk in here worrying about God's wrath. That's why I don't understand why you don't praise him. So some of you, amen, you're free to praise him. Amen. God ain't looking to whip you. He's not looking to beat up on you. He wants to love on you. And what better day than this Valentine's Day to let God love on you? Is there anybody in here? Amen. You didn't have a Valentine? Thank you, choir, for my balloon. Thank you. Thank you, some of you members who sent me a card. Thank you. Amen. Because I don't have a Valentine. Oh, but I feel love today. I said I feel love today. How many of you feel the love of God today? Come, some of you sisters sitting out there, your husband ain't bought you a balloon, ain't bought you a card, no chocolate, no nothing. All of that stopped after about the fourth year of marriage. But I want you to be happy on this Valentine's Day, because you got somebody who loves you. Come on, where are my folk who know that the Lord loves you? What have I to fear? What have I to dread? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have perfect peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. And so not only does the love and the grace of God reach out to the lost, not only does the grace of God welcome in the enemy, but there's one more thing we see. We see that the grace of God lifts up the fallen. This young man, amen, was defined by his condition. Before Ziba even called his name, he told David, amen, there's a little crippled boy. Amen. In Lodabar. And I try to encourage folk, you know, to stop complaining so much, because sometimes we complain about our condition so much that we begin to be defined by our condition. I know I've told the story before about the little Sister Mary. Y'all remember Sister Mary? Sister Mary had arthritis, and every time somebody says, "How you doing, Sister Mary?" "Oh, there's Arthur in my knee." See you next Sunday. "How you doing, Sister Mary?" "Oh, Arthur all in my back." Next Sunday, "How you doing, Sister Mary?" "Oh, arthritis in my fingers." And so folk finally stopped asking Sister Mary how she was doing and start asking her, "How's your arthritis?" Don't let your condition define you. Come on, come on. How many of you have grown up enough to know that not everybody needs to know you in a season of pain? I'm talking about even in the church. There are some folk, you come up in here, they don't need to know you having trouble at home. Y'all better help me in here. There are some folk who don't need to know you having financial difficulty. What are you talking about, Pastor? Everybody up in here ain't about the business of God. There are some people who want to see you not praise God. There are some people who want to see you miserable. There are some people who want to see you hurting. And so instead of complaining, I dare you to come in here and give God praise for his grace that looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. Praise him for his grace that picked me up and turn me around. Praise him for his grace that placed my feet on solid ground. You ought to thank God for the grace of God. I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all." And I've come by to report to you today that Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but I'm so happy that he washed it whiter than snow. The songwriter went on to say that nothing but the blood of Jesus can make me white as snow. Is there anybody here today who has a good comprehension of what the grace of God has done in your life? And that's why you don't need anybody to pump you up, and you don't need anybody to tell you when to praise God, and you don't need anybody to tell you when to clap your hands or stand on your feet, because you realize that it was the grace of God that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And it's not because I've been so good, and it's not because I did everything right, but I'm praising him because he looked beyond my faults and he saw my needs. I'm praising him because he picked me up and he turned me around and he placed my feet on solid ground. That's why I praise him. He's been so good. Come on, where are my people who don't mind telling somebody he's been so good? He's been so good that I thank him for his amazing grace. Come on, stand on your feet all over this place. Our deacons are coming forward.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM. 70,000 watts of gospel power. Beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM.